Thanks for joining Impact Boom. On this episode...
Repurposing capitalism is saying that let's try to take this vehicle, let's take this Ferrari, if you say, let's consciously select to drive this vehicle, but for the purpose of solving the hardest problems and not just trying to think about it as the problem itself. How do we utilize the same mechanisms that are extremely good at driving fast and going fast consciously to solve the hardest problems of the world?
Welcome to impactboom.org. We search the globe to find the people, stories, ideas, and inspiration to help you create maximum positive impact. Each week, Impact Boom brings you thought-provoking interviews with world-leading practitioners passionate about creating positive social change. These designers, social entrepreneurs, educators, innovators, thinkers, and doers share their projects, initiatives, thoughts, and insights on creating a better world. You can find all the stories, links, and other great content at impactboom.org. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter for the latest updates, or subscribe to the newsletter or on iTunes.
Thanks for listening to episode 464 of Impact Boom. I'm Sarah Ripper, and I'm passionate about visioning and contributing to positive, regenerative, heart and soul-led initiatives locally and globally. Today, we're speaking with Tuomo Lane. Tuomo is the CEO and co-founder of Twice Commerce, formerly known as Rental. Twice is a fast-growing commerce platform for the circular economy that has already empowered 30,000-plus merchants to launch and scale profitable and sustainable circular businesses. Tuomo is a passionate entrepreneur, enthusiastic about working for social and environmental change, as shown by his work with the Unreasonable Fellowship. On today's podcast, we'll discuss how Twice Commerce fuses the objectives of both financial and environmental sustainability and Tuomo's journey and framework around repurposing capitalism. Tuomo, thank you so much for being here all the way from Finland.
Thank you, Sarah. Excited to be here.
To start off, can you please share with us a little bit about your background and what led to you being in the world of circular economy?
Maybe if we start from my educational background, I'm a Master of Science. I got my degree at Aalto University here in Helsinki, Finland, in a study program called Information Networks. The aim of that program is to educate engineers that know tech, have an eye for design, understand business, and then they package all of this kind of into the role of the wider context of society. So trying to figure out how do these affect the main aspects of society. From that, I think being interested in circular economy is kind of a logical step, because I think circular economy actually touches upon each one of these themes, from business to tech and design. So I guess I got the first spark during studies. And at the same time, while I was studying in Aalto University, the city where I live in Helsinki, we started to have a lot of these services like city bike services, where we were given access to shared bike systems and a lot of things around sharing economy. And I just fell in love with those as a user, and then started to figure out how could I actually apply my studies in a way of creating more of these. And then with my co-founder, we created this power banking rental system, and then we were hooked. And then all of that led to where we are right now.
Uh-huh. And now you are the founder of Twice Commerce. So can you tell us more about what Twice Commerce does and the impact it's generating?
I think in order to understand our impact, let's zoom out a little bit and try to look at the big picture. So as humans, we're consuming resources faster than Earth replenishes. So to put it plainly, I think it was Bain Consultant who studied it and said that we're using 1.75 times the resources that Earth regenerates every year. As a result, we have this massive hole we've been digging for too long, affecting climate and the well-being of humans everywhere in the Earth. In the United States alone, where there's about $500 billion worth of unused goods sitting in people's homes. That's roughly $1,600 per person. And it's just sitting there, slowly turning into waste and then ending up in landfills and floating in the Pacific. So the real question to us is that how do we keep the economy growing without constantly using up new resources? And we have to remember that when you buy something as a consumer, that supports someone else's income. And that's really the kind of equation that we're trying to solve at Twice. And we directly address this by offering easy-to-use software that turns any item into a sales opportunity, not just once, but multiple times. So what we're doing is making it easier to sell and find used goods, to refurbish items, to handle trade-ins and rentals and subscriptions, whether you're an individual budding entrepreneur or an existing business. Our goal is to take the difficulty out of all of these greener business models and elevate the value of life of any item with software, since kind of we are geeks by origin. And I think as a final note, it's doing all of that by acknowledging that selling something once is hard enough. Doing it the second time is even harder. But with our platform, once you can manage to sell an item twice, you can sell it then again and again. So then you've gone over some hurdle. If we double the lifespan of every product by selling it twice, maybe we're solving that equation of consuming 1.75 times what the Earth regenerates. So maybe a simplistic way of looking at it, but let's just sell stuff twice and then we're done at least with one problem in circular economy.
And I know that potentially some people will be thinking, so selling something once, twice, three times is great. What about really end of the road, the end of the life of that product? What kind of infrastructure or partnerships or possibilities are you seeing or do you see for the future of meaningful upcycling, recycling, and reimagining when it's at the end of the road?
I think that connects to the idea that there's these two things that need to happen for circular income. There's the material level innovation, there's the business, let's say, model or consumption model level innovation. And we're focusing as a company on the consumption model, maybe saying that if we manufacture stuff from recyclable material, is it enough impact if it still ends up floating in the Pacific Ocean? How do we get those goods back to the manufacturers? So that's selling something once or twice or more. But then to your question on what is needed on that level, the material level innovation is definitely needed.
Yeah.
So there's no business in renting white t-shirts or socks, but there is definitely a business in taking back those white t-shirts, turning them back to fiber, and then using that fiber to remanufacture new items. The challenge there, to my understanding currently, is that if you have a t-shirt that says that it's 100% cotton, it actually usually isn't. It's 1 to 2% plastic due to using plastic in threads or similar. And that's something that the legislation in EU, for example, the digital product passport, tries to address, that we can really trust the fact that items have, let's say, the atoms that they say they have. Because currently, the level of turning the stuff back to atoms depends on the fact that it cannot have these extra materials in it or the process doesn't work. That's my understanding. So that's also why, as a company, we currently feel that it's rentals and subscriptions will probably be the model for long term because it's more profitable for businesses. But in the short term, it's a lot about resales and this kind of giving second life, third life, fourth life. The material level innovation that is needed and the regulation that is needed to support those taking back of fibers at scale, it's an extremely hard problem to solve. You cannot squeeze that to a shorter time as easily as you can squeeze the consumption side of things. That's our thinking there and how it will evolve in the future. But I guess it's like trying to solve one part of it and not all is what we're trying to do.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I know that it is a very broad topic that has a lot of nuance and detail into it because we're talking about stuff, products, and there's all kinds of products and all different processes, and something being recyclable doesn't necessarily mean that the infrastructure to recycle it and repurpose it is there and all that sort of stuff. But I really appreciate the insights that you're sharing about that, and as well as what you're seeing as the projected business solutions that do seem to be emerging to solve some of those problems. Really interesting. What are some, and you have alluded to this a little bit, but what are some of the biggest challenges as well as opportunities that you are seeing or that you see for the future of the sharing economy as we're reimagining this current model of capitalism and the things that don't work about it and the things that can be different?
Sure. I would break it down to three things.
I know it's a big question, I think we should do this.
Yeah, but I think it's, I would break it down to three things. I would talk about supply, demand, and then actually job creation. So supply is actually the first hurdle. So in many areas, like for example, smartphones, the demand for secondhand goods is actually raising ahead of what's available in supply. And this surge is driven by a mix of wanting to protect the environment, but also the simple benefit of people wanting to save money, especially in the current economical situation. The challenge really is actually the supply. It's those $500 billion worth of goods that are sitting in people's homes that should be flowing back to manufacturers or to new owners instead of us just manufacturing more and more. So supply is an extremely hard part of the equation that we need to figure out, that how do we get those items back to manufacturers. Then if we talk about demand, I think that's actually the bright spot. More and more people are choosing sustainable options and are ready to spend on them. The trend is growing, especially for younger generations. As they gain more purchasing power, they prioritize more green choices. So I think that's the positive driver there. And finally, I think a big opportunity that is a little bit, it's not so often talked about, but it's job creations. So there's a lot of new regulation across the globe, but specifically in European Union, for example, digital product passport or right to repair laws are forecasting a boom in repair and remanufacturing jobs. Because as you start to get these items back to the manufacturers, you disassemble them or refurbish them or you just repair them. These kind of these positions usually often individuals that are facing employment barriers or and providing crucial opportunities for people. So the impact there can be actually quite significant on a GDP level also and solving a lot of economical problems. So if we look at supply, demand, and job creation, those are extremely capitalistic themes. So to me, the question is about how does this connect to reimagining capitalism? I think it just means evolving the principles of capitalism to match today's needs. By embracing circularity and sustainability, we're not actually discarding capitalism, we're just enhancing it. Because again, if we stop and think, if we enhance the lifetime of every good, we enable someone to sell it twice and not once. That second sales actually doesn't have any manufacturing cost included in it. That to me sounds like bigger gross margins, which to me sounds like an extremely business-driven goal. So we're kind of creating more jobs and profits, which probably sounds something like capitalism should like.
Could you tell us more about your framework around what repurposing capitalism is? Now, I know you've just mentioned the sort of upgrading, but is there any other aspects? Because I know that you were a unreasonable fellow. So was there any other like really key points that you feel like disrupts that model that you think is helpful for other people to hear?
The unreasonable fellowship, let's say that repurposing capitalism, I think the tagline that the group uses is more about understanding that we have these challenges like climate change and such that we are faced with a challenge where I think we can agree that majority of people want to solve that problem. And we're actually solving that problem in improving our current state. The challenge is just that we're not improving it quickly enough. And then if we're trying to squeeze something like 12 years into 4 or 20 years into 10, repurposing capitalism is saying that let's try to take this vehicle, let's take this Ferrari, if you say, let's consciously select to drive this vehicle, but for the purpose of solving the hardest problems and not just trying to think about it as the problem itself. How do we utilize the same mechanisms that are extremely good at driving fast and going fast consciously to solve the hardest problems of the world? I think there's one investor that we have that put it quite nicely, saying that it's trying to take the discussion from value alignment to incentive alignment. And I think capitalism, if you're able to figure out the incentives there, if you show me incentives, I can show you action. And then I think if we are capable of incentivizing the kind of, let's say, engine of capitalism, then we are probably seeing a lot more action quicker. And then hopefully we're solving these like essential, existential problems for everyone quicker. That's at least how we think about it, since it's easy to lose time in discussions where it's almost like just two sides debating about values rather than figuring out the best tool to build a better house.
Yeah, really interesting. And what are some inspiring projects or initiatives that you've come across that you feel are creating really amazing change?
Sure. There's one I like to mention usually because I think it's just a good example how you can scale something to be big. It's a company called swapbee.com. It's a, I would say, a forerunner in iPhone refurbishment and reuse. And why I like to talk about them as a company is that they are doing that at large scale. So they have figured out the supply side. That's interesting for me. There's a lot of learnings that you can do from that. I think if you talk, for example, with majority of refurbishment or circular economy driven retailers, you will hear that the supply is an extremely wicked problem to solve. So Swapbee has been able to solve that, incentivize individuals and businesses and the larger ecosystem to get those phones flowing back to them and for them to refurbish them. That's the real learning from that company, in my opinion. Another one that it's a little bit younger startup is a startup called Faircato. It's a startup that won the Slush pitching competition this year. So Slush being a large startup event organized in Finland annually. And it's an inspiring initiative. Faircato essentially makes it extremely easy to find a secondhand alternative for anything that you're browsing in an online store. And I think they are, again, just an important project that help to not only build awareness that there are secondhand alternatives, but also practically remove friction from you when you're about to purchase, say, something, let's say a virgin good, that you've showcased items from various different marketplaces that are relevant to you to make it easier for you to maybe select that second life cycle. And then finally, more as a tech comment, which is not a specific project, but I'm currently extremely excited about AI assistants in general and their role for circular economy, because when done right, they cut through the complexity a lot in resales or secondhand refurbished, or whether even it's rental, but every item is unique. Everything has like a unique condition. It's a little bit, everything's a collectible. That's why it's a wonderful world when you go to a thrift shop, you're doing these unique finds, but then that's also what makes purchasing those goods quite hard and complex at times, at scale at least. I feel that these AI assistants are actually giving a big promise to how they reduce hassle and turn a burdensome job of finding those items and figuring out what's the price point for this individual thing into something that at best case can almost happen automatically on the background by the assistants. I think I'm extremely positive about generative AI when it comes to like its role in pushing circular economy forward faster and the problems it can solve.
And Tuomo, to finish off, what books or resources would you recommend to our listeners?
I'm sure that most of the podcast listeners are most likely even more educated on circular economy than I am. So I'm going to try to throw in something that might trigger some new stuff. So for any entrepreneurial mind, I really want to recommend a podcast called Acquired. It is this business startup venture podcast that dives extremely deep into category defining companies, whether it's Walmart, Amazon, to any kind of a company. And I think it's always interesting to think about the stories behind those companies, because circular economy or sustainable commerce needs those category defining companies. Learning from those other stories and figuring out how can we build similar companies to this space is extremely important. When it comes to circular economy, we're part of the Ellen Arthur Foundation. So that is an excellent resource for anyone wanting to dive deeper. They are, I think, top one in producing quality resources on pretty much any theme when it comes to circular economy. But maybe as an end, if I would be listening to the podcast, since I'm kind of a person who learns by doing, so I would say that at the end of the day, if you want to have the best resource to learn about circularity or anything connected to it, is to just simply select a circular economy related problem as your next venture, because when you're working on solving that problem, you end up learning quite a lot about it. And then you kind of learn the tough problems and not the ones that you can just like summarize from a book. At the end of the day, the best resource is just start doing something related to it.
Yeah, amazing. Tuomo, amazing. Thank you so much for your time, and love the work that you're doing, and really appreciate all the wisdom that you've shared today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to Impact Boom. You'll find links to the initiatives, people, and resources mentioned in this podcast on impactboom.org. Please leave your comments below. And remember, we'll be publishing fresh inspiration and insights to help you create positive impact every week on the website, Facebook page, and Twitter.